countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Now with our highest ever readership of 321,000 weekly readers.
This is a busy time of year for many, but in nature things have slowed down. And I'm tramping the lanes with Geraldine Kavanagh, a professional forager from Aucrim, County Wicklow.
I come to this lane, I often have classes here on this lane. It's just on the outskirts of Aucrim, and sadly these days good hedgerows are becoming quite rare because people tend to cut their hedgerows right back and not leave any branches, any tall trees. So we lose a lot of biodiversity, a lot of nesting ground for birds, and an awful lot of wild food that's of course predominantly for birds and for animals, but also if we want to forage ourselves. Mm-hmm. So this is one lovely
Saturday
example
with Katie
of a
Hannon
traditional
on RTE
hedgerow
Radio 1.
With
a meaningful Christmas
blackthorn, which mm-hmm. was traditionally planted to keep livestock in or out. And behind us here also there's a hawthorn tree, and above us there's a crab apple, so you can see all the apples are still on the ground.
They're very sour to us, but wildlife, I suppose, love those crab apples.
They're sour to us, but we can use them as well. Okay. You can make lovely crab apple jelly. You can use them in tarts. So they're perfectly suitable for use once you add a little bit of sugar. And you can see they still quite easily get a lovely basket of crab apples there now. Also, there's a few sloes left. That's another lovely wild fruit, the same family as a plum. And we mostly would use those to make sloe gin. Anyone who makes sloe gin will have their sloe gin resting in a bottle now with sugar, and they'll be looking forward to drinking it at Christmas time.
We'll take a little walk along further.
Yep.
You have your baskets with you.
Yep.
How important is a foraging basket? These are lovely ones.
Oh, I love my baskets. I never go anywhere without them. My baskets are made in Ireland from willow. They last for years, and they're so good for foraging because, like, if I pick mushrooms, they're not going to get damaged. If you pick mushrooms and put them in a bag, they'll be destroyed by the time you get home. If you pick flowers, put them into like a plastic bag, they'll sweat. Like if you put your elderflower into a plastic bag by evening, it's destroyed. So baskets, they're just really nice to hold as well. They're sustainable. They're made from willow, which can be cut and which will regrow forever. Like, I don't really use many tools for foraging. I occasionally would use a knife or a scissors, but all I ever really use is a basket.
Okay, let's walk on a bit more.
Okay.
So we'll take up the baskets. Tell us about your work at the distillery as well, because you are a forager for Glendalough Distillery.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
I know. I'm one of the few people who have an actual foraging job in Ireland. My title is botanical forager, which doesn't work very well when you go into the bank or something like that. So what's your profession? I say, I'm a forager. And they're like, what? And they go through all the lists of professions and there's just nothing.
It's not there.
Yeah, it's not categorisable at the moment. So I was teaching foraging for a couple of years, and at the time the founders of Glendalough Distillery were selling poutine and whiskey. They had this idea that they wanted to make gin, but they wanted the gin to be somehow connected to Wicklow. So we had a chat about it, and the guys had a nice base recipe with the juniper and coriander and some of the spices that most gin makers would use. And so we all met up and we went out foraging, and then they went off with all of the stuff in the back of the car, and I waited for 2 days wondering how is it going to turn out. And then I got to chat to them and said, so how's the gin? And they're like, oh my god, it's amazing, it's so good.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so we were using elderflower and clover, put sorrel in and different types of fir and a lot of different things, and we've kind of continued on making it in that way ever since, because that's I suppose how it worked. And there was nobody really doing that at the time. Very handmade, and it was expressing the place where we live. It was celebrating the wild ingredients, and it kind of put us on the map. People who were really into gin thought it was very cool.
It's brilliant.
Most foragers at this time of year would be eating and drinking things that they've made. Like, it's really a time to rest and to probably enjoy the fruits of your labour.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be more inclined to be sitting down with a glass of sloe gin in the evening than to be out foraging. But I do still like to pop out and pick some little thing. Like, I might make a soup and I might pop out and pick something like what you have in the basket there, that three-cornered leek.
Oh yes.
Because that's going to be out at Christmas time. I will be using up things that I have kept. Like, I had a special dinner just recently and I had a couple of kilos of frockens or wild blueberries.
Oh, yeah.
I picked in the summer. I've got some lovely chutneys, I've got some lovely syrups and things.
So you're enjoying the stuff that was plentiful early in the year. It's that quieter winter time.
Yeah, it's really a time to rest. And being a forager, your work is very physical. And by the end of the season, you're quite tired. And it's actually nice just to let your body rest.
And to just enjoy Christmas with your family.
Exactly. We live in an old cottage and it's really lovely in wintertime. The rooms are small and it's very cosy, and I just like to curl up on the sofa and watch a movie or read a book or just rest like everyone does.
Absolutely.
Suzanne Campbell reporting there.